Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus is not asking the gay person to change and be straight. Did you know that? Gay is not sin. Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. No place in the Bible does it condemn gays. But guess what? A lot of you think it does. And so what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be a great shaking. And this shaking is going to take interesting effects on Christians. We go to church and we listen to our pastors and preach to us wonderful sermons. We're taught tons of information. We're really filled with all kinds of stuff about the Bible. Our pastors go to college. They go to our particular denominations, schools, and they get all certified. You do searches to find pastors. You know, there's a pretty good little system developed in Christianity to find out who's going to teach you stuff and talk to you. And hopefully, you know, they're called by God. On top of all this, you know, a lot of times pastors are just a career field, you know, almost. Sure, they are Christian, so they say, and they love God, so they say. And, you know, there's hard to tell. If somebody says they're a Christian and they love God, you know, you can't tell them they don't. You can maybe check out their behaviors, but then you have a problem with behaviors because it has to be a behavior you like or dislike as you make the choice if they're a Christian or not. If you don't like their behaviors, then they're not a Christian to you. But if you like their behaviors and you agree with them a lot, then they're Christian, aren't they? You just don't want to look around, although you accept all the different denominations, but if you base it on so much of the way that you judge people, then you probably don't like the other denominations, and you're saying they're going to go to hell or something like that. But you usually refrain from actually saying anything other than all the other denominations are just different ways of believing the same thing, different ways of saying the same things, but, you know, it's the same Bible, the same Jesus, the same God, and the same principles. It's just some doctrines are well, you know how it is. You're in your denomination, and you just have your way of explaining away other denominations, and some denominations you really think are going to go to hell, and others, you know, we're just a bunch of Christians believing God the way that we like, as it were, and it's perfectly fine. Well, you so easily and quickly accept people that teach you things, and generally speaking, you know, for 2,000 years we've had people preach at us, and we learn a lot. Sometimes it's not too good, sometimes it's just fine, and over the centuries some people learn more things and find out that they've been wrong before, the Christian's been wrong, and some places they're really right, or, you know, this whole group way over in this part of the world has been believing something wrong for a while, they got straightened out finally a few centuries later. And you have to understand the whole of Christianity, 2,000 years worth, and you can get a better idea when you're going to talk about something. And so now, 2,000 years later, we got the whole mixture. We got it all, you know. We got 2,000 years, we're right at the end here, and so we got all of Christianity at our fingertips. All of it. Every single bit of it. There won't be any more Christianity. We got it all today. When we, you know, the rapture is supposed to take place. Well, a good part of us are still alive. You know, this Israel become a nation before, and that generation won't pass away. So it just depends on what you want to call a generation. And you know how people really respond to things like this. You say, well, it's not what I want. It's what God wants. It's what God says a generation. But you still lose the point here, because every one of you, every different denomination, every different in with the same denomination, goes a different way of figuring out what God is trying to say a generation is. You go through the Bible and you can find what may be more or less an official, you know, I think it's 40 years or something, for a generation. But, you know, the way that it's worded, it's not necessarily meaning it is specifically going by this kind of a generation. You know, when you say this generation won't pass away, it's not talking about that the generation disappears when its 40 years are up, because people live a little longer than that. But complete, you know, so we have trouble figuring out these kinds of things. But we do know one thing, it does indeed talk about that when Israel becomes a nation again. Well, it's pretty easy. Even 2,000 years ago, Israel wasn't a nation. You had to go back a couple of more hundred years. Maybe even 400 years, you know, someplace within a couple of hundred to 400 years. That you had to get them back to the place where Israel was a nation. You might have not have been a nation after, you know, after that, you know, there's David there, and everybody finally got carried away. And lots of things kind of happen. And here we are, what was it, 1948? Israel finally became a nation? Well, it's the only time. So, you have to sit there and say that the people born on that day will, at least some of them will be alive when Jesus actually returns. So we're living in something different. So that means that we got a bunch of people here that will be alive that was born when Israel became a nation. I was born 1947, so, you know, a year later. So, you know, I might not make it if I was to live to be older than anybody else in my generation that was born in 1947. It might be the next year that Jesus comes. But at least the whole idea is most of us, whether we want to understand what's a generation or not, believe that Jesus is coming pretty soon. It may be while we're still alive. This means we have something that every other Christian that ever lived never had, and that is at our fingertips. We have all the information of all Christianity from its beginning, plus all of the nation of Israel. So we got more things to do with God at our fingertips than anybody else ever had. And so this could be really confusing because, you know, we got all the wrong doctrine. We got right doctrine, but we don't know it's right. We got right doctrine and we think it's wrong. You know, we got all kinds of confusion. We got this people saying this kind of thing. We go home and we do a whole different thing. And so you go to church because you like to worship and everything, and you can worship a little bit, and that's great. But you go home and you kind of do something a little bit different than at least what you're doing at church. And we got all kinds of confusion ways of what we say with our mouth and what we do with our body. And we're out about gossiping and judging and talking about every kind of thing, about every kind of body. So what tell me now is actually the things of God. What is conditioning? What is culture? What is false doctrine? What is all these things, ways of man? And the real Bible. What is the real Bible? Do we think that any Bible will do? You know, NIV, will that do? New Jerusalem Bible? The New King James Bible? American Standard Version? There's lots and lots and lots of Bibles out there. King James Version? Which one do we pick? Which one is the Bible? Well, for most of my Christian walk with God back in 1974, January, about 9:45 p.m. at night. On the 27th of January, I accepted Jesus. Well, there's a little bit more to it, how I got there and everything, because Jesus actually came to me 3 years before that and told me about himself. Never left me for 3 years. Told me a lot about him. On occasion, I said, you don't be telling me you're Jesus. I'm an atheist. I don't want to hear that you're Jesus. And he didn't. But he told me lots of stuff. Showed me things. Taught me. Was with me. Loved me, as it were. And then finally, you know, my whole life was based on seeking truth. I loved truth. And one day, I looked up to God because, you know, I was You're on the freeway, far from any city. Radio stations fade in, fade out, and what stations fade in, fade out. You know, you can't get any station, but what station? Some crazy nut of a preacher crackling away out there in the middle of the desert someplace. It's the only station to get through. Well, I got one of these. A little guy talking about how his relationship with Jesus is. And he just going on and on. Longest testimony. Just yakking away and everything. I'm going crazy because he's describing something of the relationship I was having with Jesus. You know, I could handle that because, you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in that. However, you know, Jesus was with me for 3 years. You learn something about that. You start to learn that there's the spiritual side to life, and there's more to it than what we see. And so, you know, like I said, Jesus was telling me an awful lot of stuff these 3 years. And finally, you know, I decide as I'm driving down the freeway, I'm going to turn to God, even though I don't believe him. I'll tell him, I don't believe in you, don't think you're real, but if you are truth, then I will accept you. There's no conditions, it's just simply a fact. If God is truth, I'll accept him. What do you suppose that means? It means, what hope have I? I'll accept Jesus, because he is truth. So, it was 30 days later, I accepted Jesus, my Lord and Savior. It was a pretty dramatic experience that I had there. And boy, when I told God that, I turned around to Jesus and told him, you better not tell me you're Jesus, because I just knew that he was dying to tell me he was Jesus. There's no way, you're not going to tell me, it's not going to be like this. There's going to be some things that has to happen, you know. It's not coming from you, it's going to say that God is truth. But, like I said, enough happened in that 30-day period. And that's when I said that prayer, and then I ended up in this prophecy rally thing and accepted Jesus. We hear everything when we're Christians. We have all these Bibles, all my Christian life. Any Bible would do. Little things, you know, I'd often hear it's words like a or the, with maybe the main differences in translations, and so these weren't too bad of a deal. And I mostly, my first miracle was to get a Bible. You know, I wasn't working at the time. I had in my wallet $4.58, and I looked to God, and, you know, when I got accepted Jesus, they gave me the book of John, and I couldn't get it, and that was in the King James Version. I couldn't get enough of that. I was just one tear from the beginning to the end of that book, and I needed some more the next day. And so I made my first prayer after salvation. I said, all I know is there's Kmart down the street here. All I know is I got $4.58. And I know there's a little book section. I have no idea if there's a Bible in there or not. But anyway, I'm going to go there. And this is what I have. So give me a Bible. Well, I went there to Kmart. And I went to that little book section. And there was a couple of Bibles. But there was one Bible. $4 and something. And I said, oh. So, and I wasn't sure what the tax would end up being on it, but I took it up there, and $4.57. I had a penny to spare. My first miracle. It's the King James Version. I read it and read it and read. I still got it a considerable time later. And then I started reading these modern translations because, you know, they're coming out and want to see what they are. You know, everybody's just saying there's only A or the, that's difference. And so I read a number of them. But then in recent times, a couple of years ago or so, I discovered, because I love truth, I love to search, I love to find out. I don't want to just listen to somebody tell me something about the Bible, you know, or quote a scripture to me. I want to know what it means. I want to go find out Look, see what everybody else says. Look what the original language says. Look at the definitions of those days, how the people thought when they read those verses in the days of Jesus, in the days of Moses, and do some rigorous research on these things. And so, I, in this process of searching, I came across the information about the Bibles. Because I was just one, you know, I wasn't looking to try to prove anything bad or good about any of them. Just get some more information. And I come across Westcott and Horace. And that says every single modern version of the Bible is from Westcott and Hort. You can read your prefaces, but you will not find that these Bibles are from the, what they are saying. That each preface of the Bibles are saying that Jesus is, I mean, the Bible is good no matter what version you read. You just find the version that you feel comfortable with. But it turns out that though the prefaces will say that they're really done real good research, and they may say they get to go to the originals and everything, and hey, this is well and good, you know. Of course, the Bible you're reading or the people that are promoting are going to say it's good. It's when you go to other sources, and you could type in Westcott and Horton in your web browser, and you'll get many, many pages on them, and you'll find out they were occultists. Details about this, you'll find out that they got the corrupt version, retranslated it from the Latin Vulgate into their style of Greek, and then retranslated it back into English, and by a sneaky and evil means, they were on the board. One of them was on the board of the Church of England committee to get the new translation of the Bible, revised version of the King James, basically. But they got their version in, and it took a 20-year period to get the whole Bible in, but then that became the official Church of England. From there, that became the official source for all modern translations to translate into a modern version. There's only one Bible that comes from the what's called the received text. Both of them come from the second century. The received text is a handwritten copy of the originals. And both of them were translated in Latin Vulgate. But the received text was used quite a bit by Protestants in most of the church up until the 15th century, where the Catholics were ordered to use the corrupt version because they just happened to find it, because it just disappeared for those 15 centuries or 14 centuries or so, and they made that the official Catholic Bible. Finally, King James came around, and they made it the received text. They wanted to get a modern version, get it all done for everybody can read, easy access. They had typing printers now and so forth, and so they got the received text and worked hard to get it very correct. They had some 400 typing errors, printer errors, which were corrected, I think, within 27 years, and then nothing else was done with it. It ended up with a few corruptions, like one place that says Jesus is good, when actually it meant to say Jesus is God. This can be used for doctrine. So King James has a couple of doctrinal mistranslations in it. Then it was in 1880 they made some corrections to proper spelling, because spelling became standardized. They also changed the font. And as soon as they changed the font, it became very readable, because it came into what we can recognize. It was in a font that it would look like almost another language today. But the font change brought it into what we would recognize as English today. And then that's never been revised since, except for people doing their special commentaries or something like that. You got to be careful when you get a King James with commentary, because the commentary is going to be man's doing, even though it could be very good. So the King James Version is the only Bible that actually goes back to the Bible, as it were. All modern translations don't. And all modern translations has 50 to 80,000 corruptions in them, with the purpose of taking Christ out. See, these are the things that you don't get when you go to church. Is your pastor going to be showing you are telling you things that, you know, he's got to. I went to Assembly of God Church. That's my background over here not long ago. And they're using the NIV. Oh, it was all I can do to stop myself from standing up there or getting a hold of that guy. I finally did.
Well, I ran out of tape there, so I have to change location here for new tape. I finally got a hold of him, found his email, and of course, you know, doesn't reply. But, you know, you got to use the proper translation, which there's only one, and that's the King James Version. To find out what I'm saying, again, I'd like to tell you to get your browser out in the internet, search out these two people, Westcott and Hort, and you'll get page after page of describing these people, who are more evil than just putting the corrupt version of the Bible in to become the official Bible, so that all translations can come from after that, the modern translation. They also are very much involved in the one world government, Antichrist kingdom, and they've created secret clubs, which today, if you're going to be in Antichrist kingdom of any kind of high position, you have to be a member of this club. Anyway, you know, time's going on, and it is time for you to begin to look deeper into things than just to listen to your teachers. And it's time to get ready, because something's going to happen which is going to cause you to have to live by faith alone, because you will not have the help that comes when you get saved. When you get saved, something happens, and you get some being connected to you that makes you feel saved. It makes you have confidence that you're saved. Sometimes this doesn't make any sense, but you go around, sure, you're saved, but something's going to happen. Well, it's going to be the two witnesses going to tell the rain to stop raining, and this rain is the little wire connection from the Holy Spirit to Jesus to you, to make you feel saved. And this is going to be cut off, and you're going to feel like Jesus forsake you. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer like that gets you saved and gets you connected to Jesus. You need to read the Bible to learn about Jesus. And you need to keep your eye open, because the enemy is out there creating deceptions. The enemy, Satan, uses people and the secret societies of the Masons are your worst enemy in all the world. For they have a 5,000 year experience, and they trace it back 5,000 years of practicing deception. And they plan to make a one-world government, reestablish the days of Noah. And so you need to be watching for this so their deceptions won't fake you out, trick you out. So you'll think that man over there is Jesus after all. They're going to have somebody that's going to seem like Jesus to you. And many other things. So be ready, people. Lots of things are about to happen, and it's not too good to sit there and play in the little church games of looking at little things when the bigger thing may take your faith away. See you next week.